The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, some people who were present there told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." He was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who, for 18 years, had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over, completely incapable of standing erect. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and she at once stood up straight and glorified God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, said to the crowd in reply, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord said to him in reply, "Hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for the watering? This daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years now, ought she not to have been set free on the Sabbath day from this bondage?" When he said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by him. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a person took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the air of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour, until the whole batch of dough was leavened." He passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to him and said, "Go away, leave this area, because Herod wants to kill you." He replied, Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and I perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes we can feel like the fig tree. We look at ourselves, searching for fruit, and find none. 3, 4, 15 years, and no fruit. What am I doing, Lord? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't I getting any better? I'm praying all the time, and things just don't get better. And so we wonder, am I a branch separated from the vine? Am I not being nourished with the divine sap? I'm not bearing fruit, and so like the fig tree, am I in danger of being cut down so that I don't exhaust the soil? When we're in this place, doubts can pile on top of doubts, and it can seem like we are doomed to the saw of judgment by which the Lord will cut us down. But it doesn't need to be this way. For just as the divine gardener gave the fig tree another chance, so too our Lord is always ready to fertilize us with his gifts and water our souls with his grace. It just needs to start with repentance on our end. What do we hear at the beginning of this 13th chapter from Luke? The Galileans and the people of Siloam all had tragic ends, but that wasn't the worst thing that could have happened. And Jesus points this out to all of the people gathered around him. More worrisome than physical death is the death of the soul, when we fall away from the Lord and cease trying to bear fruit, when we succumb to despair. And it's in those moments that the Lord warns us too. If you do not repent, you will perish as they did. It all begins with repentance. And when we come to the Lord with repentant hearts, when we come to him with hearts that are open to his grace and receptive of his providential plan, then he can cultivate us from the inside out. The life of holiness is not just about putting new fertilizer on top of us. It's not about some sort of exterior justification by which the Lord just accepts us and covers us with his love. Rather, the life of holiness is about the Lord cultivating the soil of our souls and then fertilizing it. It's about him actually transforming us from the inside, interiorly justifying us and sanctifying us, and only then adding fertilizer on top. That's what happens to the fig tree. The Lord says, I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. Both of these steps are crucial for holiness and transformation. Both of these steps are necessary for us to bear fruit. But what will this fruit look like? It looks like a mustard seed that a person took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches. It looks like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened. Possibly closer to home, it looks like the healing of a woman who had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over and was completely incapable of standing erect. Before her healing, she wasn't able to look up at anything, to see the beauty of creation, to see loving faces, to see the glory of the Lord in his holy temple in Jerusalem. And in reading this, we can be led to see a challenge that we might all face, that our eyes too might begin to be cast down, to gaze only on worldly things and worldly happenings. Yet after her healing, she is able to stand upright, to look up to the heavens, to see the faces of her loved ones, and to look upon the splendor and glory of God's creation and the majesty of his dwelling place in the temple. And so we too are able to look up from worldly things, to set our minds and hearts on heavenly things as we gaze upon the Lord with eyes open to see his face. That is the fruit of repentance and conversion. That is the fruit that the divine gardener desires to cultivate in our souls with his grace. Lord Jesus, you who are the divine gardener, you who desire that we repent and come to a life of conversion, that we be open to you cultivating our souls with your grace as you seek to transform us from within. We come to adore you, present in before us in this most blessed sacrament. And we praise you who have come in the name of the Lord. Grant us many graces that will lead to our conversion and to our holiness, so that we can be interiorly transformed and justified. So that when our time comes, we who ate and drank in your company may not be locked outside, but welcomed in through the narrow gate to recline at your table in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.